I want to start this morning by just telling you a story. And some of you will know of this. You'll know the story, some of you, because I referred to it in our house group a week or so ago. Some of you will know because you read the local newspaper or you'll follow the news in the northwest of England. But it concerns two men who had been for more than 45 years lifelong supporters of Liverpool Football Club. And they attended all the games together. They travelled to a lot of the away games. And they were watching in the Echo Arena on one of the big screens the live link from, I can't remember where it was being played, Liverpool were playing Sevilla in the Europa League Cup final last year. And these two men were disappointed. They were down. They left the Echo Arena because their club had lost, somewhat flat, went into a local pub, came out almost immediately, had an altercation, words were said, three punches were thrown, one completely missed. The first punch hit his friend full in the face, knocked him down, banged his head on the ground. He died 2 days later in the Royal from serious head injuries. Devastating. When I told this story in the house group, and you'll get the connection in a minute, I went home and did actually some research and went back to the articles that were in the press at the time. And to my astonishment, I found that this man wasn't just from Merseyside, he was from Barnston. In fact, he lives right across the dale from us here. And not only that, but he was personally known to myself and our family. One of our boys and his boys were contemporaries. They played in football teams together, both in school and Cubs and so on. And so what had been a serious enough story, when I thought more about it, had impacted us much more closely than I had realized. I didn't know that it had happened. We know the family, we know the wife of the man who committed what was described as the crime. He pleaded guilty to manslaughter at Liverpool Crown Court, and he was jailed for 28 months. Prior to sentencing, the daughter of the man who had died wrote to the judge asking for a plea of mercy, that he shouldn't receive a custodial sentence because the families were so close together. His son was still travelling to the games with the members of the other family. They were closely knit as not just a couple but as families. And the judge said that he had never, in all the years that he'd served on the bench, he had never come across a letter that was so appealing and kind and moving. And in fact, the recorder of Liverpool said there has scarcely, if ever, been a case where the personal mitigation could have been more compelling. But he said, I cannot allow that mitigation, whatever its strength, to drive me away from my public duty in imposing a significant sentence for the taking of a life. And of course, what this case demonstrates, amongst a number of other cases, is the fact that the law has to be honoured, doesn't it? The law has to be upheld, whatever the mitigating circumstances, whatever the pleas, whatever the concerns, the law stands unshakable. And I thought about that in connection with our lives. We may not have committed some kind of heinous crime, even if it was a terribly regretful one, even if it was one that the consequences were far beyond what anybody could have imagined. We may not have appeared in a court of law. We may not have committed some kind of gross failure or sin. But the book of James, and this is the link with the house group, the book of James that we're talking from says there that if you offend in one point, if you offend the law in one point, you're guilty of it all. And that's where we stand as men and women. We stand as sinners before a holy God who's represented in the law that he has given. And we each, one of us, in one way or another, have come short of that law, haven't we? In fact, the Bible says we come short not just of the law, we've come short of the glory of God. We're all fallen, we're all sinners, says Paul, because we've come short of the glory of God. And because we are under his law, and he is holy, we stand as judged. And the law has to be upheld. And that's the message of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sang about it in the hymn, In Christ Alone. We talked about how he came into our world. He took flesh. He became a man. The Son of God became a man. He came down into our world. And he went to the cross. And on the cross, he gave his life for you and for me. People who are under the guilt of the law, people who stand condemned before a holy God. And Paul tells us that the wages of sin, the outcome of sin, if you like, is death. And that doesn't just mean physical death. It's a spiritual death that Paul is talking about, that we die spiritually. We die in relation to God. We're separated permanently from God. And there is a punishment that the law brings about. Has to be. And we all, outside of Jesus Christ, face that penalty for our sin. But the gospel is that Jesus came, and when he went to that cross and he died on the cross and shed his precious blood, he did that so that the weight of sin, the shame, the guilt, the penalty of our sin could be put on him and not on us. So that we didn't have to bear it. He bore it so that we could be free. That is, the Bible word is, that we have been justified free. That means we've been put into right relationship with God freely through the work that Jesus did on the cross. It wasn't something that we deserved. It certainly wasn't something we ever could have earned. It's his grace that took him to the cross, that bore, that enabled him to bear in his body our sin, to take the penalty of that sin into himself, to know separation from his Father, so that we need not know separation ever from God for all eternity. What a wonderful thing that is. Judgment gives us what we deserve. Mercy does not give us what we deserve. Grace gives us what we don't deserve. How wonderful is the grace and mercy and goodness of our Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul says in his letter to Romans, where he puts all this out in a great theological treatise, he says that we're justified freely. That is, we're put into right standing with God. It means that effectively the judge has said to us, you're not guilty. Amazing. Because Jesus Christ took the legitimate punishment of sin upon himself. The effects of the law was worked out in Christ so that you and I could be justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Here it is, Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. It's a big word. It means a sacrifice that was made on our behalf for sin. Jesus Christ pay that price so that you and I could be free today. We praise Him. We worship Him. The wages of sin is death, says Paul, but the gift of God is eternal life. Not only can we be put back into right relationship with God, not only can we be made effectively new and stand before Him clean and pure because of what He's done, not only do we stand not guilty, but He gives us His own life to live, a life that is an eternal life, a life that will never die, a life that will never come to an end, but also a life that's of a different quality from anything that we've ever known this side of heaven. Glory to His wonderful name. So James has this word. He says that mercy triumphs over judgment. In that case, those dear people, their plea fell on deaf ears. Not that the ears were unmoved, but the responsibility of the judge was to uphold the integrity of the law. Praise God that for us, Jesus made a plea on our behalf, didn't He? Even while they were crucifying Him, even while they were nailing Him to that Roman gibbet, He said, He prayed, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." His plea for our freedom was heard in heaven. And mercy, says James, triumphs over judgment. Glory be to God. Could I ask you this morning, are you standing in that place where you are made accepted before God? That verse, when we talked about the propitiation, that big word which means just a sacrifice on our behalf, Paul goes on to say that this is so that Christ, or so that God, could be both just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. I think that's an amazing verse. That God is both just in freeing us because the price has been paid. So the law, the righteous requirements of the law have been upheld. But He's also the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. That is, He can also be able to forgive us and to free us because of what has happened to Jesus. And all that is required for us is that we should be the ones who have faith in Jesus and in what He has done. That is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He is both just and the justifier of the one who believes in Jesus. That's the mystery of the cross. That somewhere our sin and shame met the great love and grace of God. Righteousness and peace kissed each other, it says in the book of Psalms. Are you standing by faith this morning in the Lord Jesus and all that He did on that cross for your full and free and eternal salvation? There's nowhere else we can stand. If we stand there, we stand in the grace of God. Hallelujah. And know His great eternal life. Can we pray together? Father, we worship You this morning. We thank You for sending the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You came to do Your Father's will. And that You came into our world to lay down Your life as a ransom for many. We pray, Lord, for one another this morning, that our eyes might be opened to see our need of you, but also to see the great provision that you have made for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Find us men and women who will put our full trust in you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.